You are listening to the Punk News Podcast, and finally, the plan for 700 is afoot. We've already got some really cool guests confirmed, and we're working on some more. And more, are you excited for episode 700 and the plan that we are taking and the what we've got cooking in the cooker, in the wok, in the slow cooker, in the Dutch oven, in the oven, in the toaster oven? Are you excited?
I'm very, very, very excited. It all the cooking smells really good, so I'm stoked to eat it.
Well, there you go. Em's going to eat it on the Punk News Podcast. Em, you were just that you were a big shot last night. What happened?
Oh, yes. So last night was the annual Polaris Music Prize Gala, which was very exciting.
So what is the so that's not the awards? It's the so
yes,
what
it is?
Oh, what is the awards?
Yeah.
Who won?
Yves Jarvis.
Did you vote for that? Did you vote for that person?
I did not. Mm. I was not on grand jury this year.
Is the grand jury the big one or the small one?
The grand jury is the one that decides the winner.
That's bullshit.
So I was,
how come you?
I was
on
the grand jury last year, and then this year, like you're on the or I was on the main jury, so like you vote for everything, and then you are in suspense like everyone else until the show. You don't know
that's
who's going to win.
How come you weren't on the grand jury this time? That's bullshit, Em. That's bullshit.
There were people better qualified than me to talk about certain albums.
Yeah, but how would they know who's better qualified to talk about certain albums until the winner's picked?
Well, the grand jury debates the 10 albums, the 10 album shortlist. So there's someone represents each album in like a grand jury setting.
Why aren't you as qualified as these other people? Let me look at the shortlist. I didn't even know this went down. I feel like this didn't make a whole lot of news this year. I feel like Polaris is usually kind of a big deal.
Oh, we covered everything except the winner. And that's on me because I forgot. But
the OBGMs, don't you love that band? Isn't that like one of your favorite bands?
Yeah, they're amazing.
Well, you're qualified to talk about them. Why would you say you're not qualified?
I also think it's kind of a thing. Like, if you're on the grand jury one year, you can't be like 2 years in a row kind of thing.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. But anyways, so, yeah, like 9 out of the 10 bands and artists on the shortlist performed. The only person that didn't perform was Mustafa because I think he's on tour. But yeah, so it was really cool because this year was the first year in quite a while that they did a live stream of the show. So people could watch it as everything was happening. And that was pretty cool. The host was Havaya Mighty, who won in 2019. She was incredible, really good host, kept everything moving. She had a really cool like yellow suit too. So that was pretty neat. Yeah, and there are just so many like great performances. Like so many great performances. It was like pretty close for some of it, which was really exciting. BB Club absolutely blew my mind live. OBGMs live are incredible. They had Sate up there with them, who's featured on Changes, and she's an absolute like powerhouse vocalist. They had a lot of just like amazing backing vocalists. And they had their set was just awesome. It was so much energy and like people were cheering really loud and I was just like, oh hell yeah, like you have to. They're incredible. They were wearing suits, so that was pretty fun. And they had somebody else join them, Faiza, on the last song, which is How Are You. Really, 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 really good. Population Duh were amazing. They had lots of lights and they got really proggy and like really cool. Saya Gray was really neat. Nemesis, like if you haven't listened to Nemesis, go listen. Amazing, amazing, amazing voice. There wasn't a bad performance. Everyone was spectacular. It was all live performances this year, which was really cool because last year there was I think two taped performances. Well, one tape performance and a music video premiere. So it was really cool to have everything be live, and the energy seemed a little more kind of like lively, which was really nice. And hung out with Adam and Julie, and that was awesome. Haven't seen them for, well, since last year, so that was really nice. We got to hang out and talk more this year. I did go to the like opening reception thing. It was really, really hot, and I was kind of like roaming around. I said hi to Phil from Mothland. He's really cool. We didn't really get a chance to talk, unfortunately, but it was nice to like see him in person, say hi. And there were so many people, and it was just kind of like that moment where it's like, I know what people look like, but I don't know what people look like. And then it was a really interesting little time there. It also got really hot, so I had to seek cooler air. And then afterwards, they had an after party that was at the Church of the Holy Trinity. So the Church of the Holy Trinity is kind of in the middle of the Eaton Center. Like it's behind it, but it's kind of enclosed, like circled by it, sort of. So they have shows every so often, and it's a working church as well. So like went in and they had lights everywhere, and like the front of the church where all the services happen, that's where the stage was set up, and there were pe the pews were pushed to the sides so you could like sit down if you wanted to. Pews are very uncomfortable. But it was nice to have a place to sit. There was a DJ playing who did a really interesting kind of trancey thing when I was there. Apparently he really like kicked it up later on in the night. But yeah, I was there for a couple minutes and then left. Teke Teke were playing. I didn't get to see them, unfortunately, but I saw some videos and they seemed really fun and cool. They're definitely a band I really want to see at least once. So hopefully it works out in the future. But yeah, it was a lot of fun and just a great highlight, a great showcase of like awesome Canadian music. There was Murray Davidson opened the show and Lou Adrian Cassidy closed the show, and they were both like super energetic. It was just a lot of fun. You get to hear a lot of different genres and different musicians that you maybe wouldn't be exposed to, and it's always worth it. This was also the 20-year anniversary of Polaris as a whole. So there were some like kind of special things that went on this year. So they announced the winner at the end. But this year was the first year of the SOCAN Canadian Songwriting Prize. So that was won by Mustafa for Gaza's Calling. Then they did the Slate Family Heritage Prize. So there's two winners. There's the winner that is decided by a jury, and then there's the winner that is decided by the public. So when the Heritage Prize albums are announced, you can go online and you can vote for them and everything. So like some of them that were on the docket this year were Propagandhi, Today's Empires, Tomorrow's Ashes, and Constantine Self-Titled. So they had like a lot of really cool stuff. The organ one for Grab That Gun, and Jane Siberry one for The Speckless Sky. So that was cool. They were both there and they accepted the award and they got a special poster about their album. So that was the first time that that had happened live, because usually the Heritage Prize is announced a little bit later. And yeah, I was very surprised at the winner. I think a lot of people were too.
Why?
I thought like I was hoping the OBGMs were gonna win, to be completely honest. You know, I was like, come on, come on, come on, let's get like a punk band wit to win.
Has a punk band ever won?
Yep, fucked up one.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely been punk representation for sure, but it was kind of like, you know, like the OBGM's record is just amazing. It's called Sorry It's Over. If you haven't checked it out, go check it out. It's awesome. And if you ever have the chance to see them live, like go see them live. Yeah, so it was a really, really cool night. I wore better shoes this time so I could move better.
Was the
Yeah.
person that won expected to win?
No.
Oh, and why not?
I
Like
don't think for any reason.
who was
It was just
expected to
like,
win?
I don't know what the favorite was, but I thought it was like obviously I wanted OBGMs to win because they're a great album. They have a great album. They're a great band. But I think people were leaning maybe more like Nemesis or Mustafa.
Okay, so people were you thought people were expecting one of those two to win.
Yeah. Because
And
I'll, but
why do you
anyway,
think
yeah.
they why do you think they didn't win?
Someone, the person who represented the Yves Jarvis album, I think gave a really good piece about it. I don't know what
Interesting.
they like. I wasn't a part of it, so I don't know. But that's how it's decided, and that's what I think happened. So yeah, like congratulations to Yves Jarvis for winning.
But it should have been the OBGMs.
You said it, not me.
I will say it. I don't care.
But no, it was a lot of fun. It was great.
You heard it here first. The Polaris Prize is anti-woman. That's what I'm saying, Em. Not really.
No.
I think a lot of
A
women have actually won, actually. But
lot of women have won.
still, OBGM should have won. I don't even know who this Yves Saint Laurent guy
Oh,
is.
OBGMs aren't women.
Oh, they aren't? I thought
No.
OBGM were women. Well,
No,
still.
OBGMs aren't women, they're men.
Oh, well, then I have no idea who the OBGMs are. They still should have won.
Wait, you don't have you not listened to
I probably M. Oh, I see the OBGM. I see. Maybe not. I don't know. And
that?
there's a lot of M War bands. I don't know if I've ever listened to them. So, anyways, Yves Saint
Go listen to
Laurent won.
OBGMs.
And so, anyway, that was M's big adventure. There's breaking news right now at Punk News.
Oh.
So anyway, Circle Jerks are going to reissue Golden Shower of Hits, their third album. It's going to be out on Trust Records, of course, who put out the first two Circle Jerks reissues, Group Sex and Wild in the Streets. It's going to be out November 14, which is re relatively soon, actually real soon, like 2 months away. It looks
Yes.
it's remastered, and there's one track available, the remastered version of When the Shit Hits the Fan, which honestly sounds a lot different than the, I guess, original release. So I guess they went back and took the master tapes and I guess kind of cleaned them up or whatever. It sounds a lot different, a lot more raw. It looks like there's no bonus track, but don't take my word for that. I'm just reading a press release that doesn't have any bonus tracks on it, but I'm kind of surprised because the first two reissues came both with the bonus tracks. I mean, I don't know if anybody's surprised that they're reissuing Golden Shower of Hits. It's kind of the third Circle Jerks record in their in their trilogy of hits. Afterwards, they never really put out a super great album. They put out albums that had good songs on them and great songs, but not some not so great songs either. Whereas Golden Shower of Hits is bulletproof all the way through. And actually, it's my second favorite Circle Jerks album after Group Sex. Yeah, man. I mean, Keith Morse's 70th birthday is this Saturday with Ceremony Rocks from the
Holy.
Crypt and Negative Approach. So there's a big party there. The reissue looks cool. The cover art is slightly updated. I think just because they probably didn't have the original photos, so they had to update a scan from the record itself. So the artwork is very slightly updated. But cool record. I'm glad it's getting reissued. I'm glad that it's back under Keith's control, or at least Keith's control through Trust Records. So this is cool. Let's this let me see if this comes with anything extra. I know a lot of them come with books.
Oh, yes.
Looks like Doesn't look like it's coming with a deluxe booklet, but it might. They just didn't mention it in the press release. So anyway, this looks cool and exciting. And yeah, I mean, I love the Circle Jerk and I love this record. And any comments on this? Are you surprised at all, or I mean, there have been rumblings of this honestly since Wild in the Streets came out, frankly.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by it, but I think it's going to be cool, and I'm glad they're going through with the re-release.
Where do you rank in the Circle Jerks pantheon?
You gave it second.
I give it
That's
second. I'll give my official
high.
Circle Jerks ranking right now. Golden Shower
Okay.
hits at number one. Number two,
Wait, Golden Shower of Hits at number one?
no, I'm sorry. Group Sex at number one. Golden Shower hits at number two. Wild in the Streets at number three. Then here's where I might be different from a lot of people. Oddities at number four. Because even though
Oh,
not every
cool.
song on there is great, it's got some cool songs. Like I Want to Destroy You, even though it's a cover, freaking great song. Teenage Electric, good song. Then after that, I'm gonna go. Well, there's only two left. I'll go Wonderful and then Six. Six is all right.
Okay.
Well, Six has got Beat Me Senseless. Actually, I might go. I might. Yeah, I'm gonna go Six and then Wonderful. Yeah, Six and then Wonderful. That's how I'll go.
Oh.
So. And Keith has hinted that they're going to put out another Circle Jerks record, but where is it? So, M, do you think there will be another Circle Jerks record?
I think there will be another Circle Jerks record. I think it's going to be another maybe 2 to 3 years, though. That would be my baseless speculation.
I actually think I agree with you. And if you recall, M, Off was supposed to be the Circle Jerks new record. And actually, if you look at the first Off
Oh, yeah.
record, not Keith Hetson. Greg Hetson actually has one or two songwriting credits on it. So some of those actually were Circle Jerks tracks.
Yes.
I think it's going to be a while. But anyway, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to this reissue. The other two reissues have been super good. I don't think there's going to be any like super big surprises, frankly. But regardless, it'll be cool. So yeah, so that's that. Any other words on the Circle Jerk reissue? And how long do you think the current
Yes.
Circle Jerks resurgence is going to continue? And do you think they're going to headline Punk Rock Bowling? Do you think they're going to do a Punk Rock Bowling club show? Do you think they're going to headline Riot Fest perhaps in 2026? Where do you see, actually, here's the question. Where do you see
Oh.
Circle Jerks going from here?
I think there's going to be the album in a couple years. I think them highlighting, oh my God, headlining Riot Fest is a definitely great bet. I think they're going to have a couple more like really big festival appearances. I think the resurgence is going to last quite a bit longer. I think it's going to be pretty decent, and I think if slash when they release the new album, it's going to get a little crazier.
I agree. What I think is interesting is Circle Jerks have been touring a lot, and that can burn out a resurgence. Like Descendants play a lot, you know what I mean? And so Descendants playing a
Yeah.
show now is not really like a special event like it was. And I don't mean to criticize the Descendants. It's just that a Descendants show is somewhat common now, so it's not like a one-time special thing. But Circle
Sure.
Jerk just still seems like when Circle Jerks play, it's kind of a big deal, you know? So,
Yeah, people get really hyped.
although wisely, Circle Jerks did that tour. First, they did the tour with Negative Approach, which was a smart move because Circle Jerks is bigger than Negative Approach. But Negative Approach, you know, is definitely a respected band, and they're probably a little bit harder than Circle Jerks. And I don't mean that to diss the Circle Jerks at all. I mean, like, because I think Circle Jerks are a better band, but like they're a bit more monosonic than Circle Jerks. So that lets Circle Jerks shine when they play. You know what I mean? So
Yes.
I would say that was a smart move to play a whole bunch of shows with Negative Approach. And then they played a bunch of shows with Descendants, which that's a 1-2, you know, combo punch, you know, where both bands are still really good. So I think that was a smart move.
Very smart move. I
So
agree.
I think the Circle Jerks resurgence is going to continue for a while, frankly. But actually, here's the thing, though, Em. How much pressure is them to put out a when they put out a new album? it kind of has to be like an ultra grand slam of an album, right?
Probably, yeah.
I mean, do you think they can get away with just like an okay album? And can they make an ultra grand slam album?
I think they can make an Ultra Grand Slam album. I think they can get away with an all right album. Because they've had like so many like hits kind of within the punk sphere and stuff. I think they can get away with like, okay, there's like five good songs or whatever, three good songs.
I mean, I think I can get away with it, but I think if they put out an okay album, people are like, yeah, it's all right. But I think if they want to continue the resurgence, they need to do an alt like a really dynamite album. I know Keith can do it. I just wonder if the other guys have the firepower still, you know. And to their credit, the few Circle Jerk tracks that have come out since the last album, which was like 25 years ago, namely I'm Gonna Live and a couple of the covers and the Descendants covers have all
Oh,
been super
yes.
dynamite. I just think somebody needs to crack the whip, which is what Keith kind of talked about when he formed Off to begin with, and that like he was cracking the whip, but no one was jumping too. So that's why he formed Off, who were dynamite. So hey, what I'm saying is just bring in Dimitri Coates and just say, hey, Dimitri, write some songs with us, and we'll call it Circle Jerk. So, anyways. So we will see. Now let's see what else is happening here. Refuse have announced their final shows,
Oh,
which
yes.
I think they announced that before. Didn't Refuse say they were ending a little while ago, Anne?
They did. It was like last year.
Okay, yeah. So I was right about that. But the weird thing is, they say they're starting a new band, but with all four members of Refused are going to start a new band. And does that make any sense? Like, does that make sense, or is it stupid?
It's really funny because it's like, yeah, we can't stand each other, but you know what? We're gonna be in a band together again, actually.
You're right. They talk about how they like hate each other, but we're gonna be in a band.
I think it's really funny. I think what they're trying to do is like, oh, well, there's too much pressure with like Refused. If we just make music, you know, under a different name, maybe it'll be different. I don't think it's going to be different. I hope they don't hate each other that much anymore, but I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I guess they, well, Refuse is Swedish, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so, with Swedish people, anybody in those kind of Scandinavian countries, they're always kind of hard to read in that, like, in America, someone says, let's use Jesus Piece as an example. They're like, we hate each other and we're not
Okay.
talking to each other ever again. F you. But Swedish people, you're like, we hate each other, so we're starting a new band together. It's like, what? It's like,
Sure.
and so I don't know, do they actually hate each other, or is that kind of a put on? I feel like it's kind of real, frankly. And I feel like not content, maybe they made so much money from Refused that like they can just do whatever they want now, you know? At any rate,
Maybe.
but it's weird that, but then why start a band that no one cares about? Because the fact of the matter is the guys in Refused have started other bands, including International Noise Conspiracy, which people kind of liked
Yes.
for a hot minute, you know. And there was a couple other bands, but none of those really, you know, like moved the needle too much. So it's like, yes, let's quit the band that people care about and start a band that no one will care about, and that way the pressure's off. And it's like, well, what's the point of doing it? If the purpose of you doing a, here's what I'm saying. They basically say we don't want the pressure or the fans of Refuse. They said that they said they don't want the fans. You know what I mean? They say that in the thing. So if you don't want the pressure or the fans, then what's the, yeah, I mean, like, what's the purpose of being in a band at all if you don't want any pressure? I guess it's kind of like, you know how the guys in Fugazi still get together and like jam once in a while? Like, maybe that's what they want
Yes.
to do. Like, they just want to hang out as friends. But then why make an announcement? Like, here's my point, Em. Here's my point.
Okay. Yes.
I think the guys in Fugazi did totally, like, let's assume the guys in Fugazi don't necessarily want to tour or make music together right now, right? But they still want to
Sure.
be friends and they still want to make music. So they get together and jam together, I think in like Ian MacKaye's basement or somewhere, right? So. Okay,
Yes.
that makes sense to me. Like, they just want to be pals and play music together. They don't have the desire and or the capacity and or the time to tour, you know, or write a record together. So, okay, that makes sense. But then if you refused, if you don't want the pressure of being in a band together, then why start a new band where your plan is to have no one care about you? Why announce that? That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like, why say don't come see our band? You know?
Maybe it's
So
just, yeah, to keep take even more pressure off. So it's like, haha, we can do whatever now.
I feel it's exactly what Refuse has always been, is a little too pretentious. Like honestly, I'm not a hater, but I saw Refuse when they reunited, and I was really not that, like, I know everyone like Refuse, you know, they're so amazing. They combined electronic music with hardcore. And then when I hear it, it's just hardcore with like 15-second electronic interludes between some of the songs. And I'm like, well, that's not
oh,
that
yeah.
innovative. That's like not that innovative. I mean, and the fact of the matter is that now that I'm thinking about it, Philadelphia's Ink and Dagger did do that long before Refused to put electronic music into hardcore. Now that I think about it,
oh,
and you might find some other band. I something like, well, actually, John, the Rotten Apples did it before them. So I'm like, maybe they did. Fine, I don't care. All I'm saying is, I never felt that Refused was quite as innovative as everyone said they were, and I feel they're a little too pretentious for what they actually do, and I feel they're being a little too pretentious here. Not that I'm against pretension, like, you know, Genesis Peoria Psychic TV was somewhat pretentious, but in my estimation, Penny Rimbaud is a little pretentious. In my estimation, you kind of have to have some juice to back up the pretension, you know, and I feel like Refuse doesn't have quite enough of the juice to back up the pretension. That's what
Okay.
I'm saying, Em.
Okay.
So
Interesting.
we'll see.
We will see. Maybe they'll be really good. Maybe it'll be like, wow, this is an incredible band.
But
good
then
thing
should
they
the,
stopped
then,
Refused.
but like, let's say it is amazing, then why not be Refused?
Fun.
So you're saying it's fun to be in a band that no one cares about?
I think if you've been in a band that people really, 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 really care about for a long time, it might be very freeing to be in a band nobody really knows.
But with all the same people.
Yeah. Like, hey, let's get back to how we used to make music when we were like young and all together.
I mean,
Maybe.
I guess there is some logic to that, in that people are very into branding. So if Refuse put out a very non-Refuse
Yeah.
type album, that would upset people. Whereas if they say we're a different band now, then that wouldn't upset people as much. But on the other hand, I mean, like then why have all the same members in it? I don't know. Anyways, we'll find out. I don't really care about Refuse too much. But we'll see. And this was kind of weird. X and Los Lobos canceled
Yes.
their massive tour they had planned. They said, due to circumstances beyond our control, X and Los Lobos will be unable to embark on the 99 Years of Rock and Roll tour. Both bands and our crews work hard, and we're looking forward to this tour. We love and invite our fans, extremely disappointed at this turn of events. Look to the point of purchase for refunds. We hope to see you in the near future. Now, there's any number of reasons that MU and I could guess as to why an entire tour would need to be canceled at short notice. When was this tour supposed to kick off?
It was supposed to, I believe it was later this week or early next week. Let me pull it up. September 19th. It was supposed to
Yes.
start September 19th in Toronto.
So they canceled it like 3 days ahead of the tour, you know what I mean? Or 4 days, right? Except they
Mm-hmm.
are playing two shows.
This week?
No. I think they're playing like Las Vegas or something. They mentioned it. Let's see here.
Where did they mention it?
I saw it. Here we go. Reno, Nevada, and Riverside. They mentioned it in their Instagram. So they're playing 11/7 and 11/14. I don't
Okay.
understand how you cancel an entire tour, but like, oh, but we can still do two of the shows, you know?
I'll update the post. I didn't see that.
But so what do you think is going on?
Well, like when I saw it initially, I was like, okay, well, it's a health thing, because if they were having visa issues, they still would have played the US dates,
Right.
right? And then it's like, it's all of the original members. So it's kind of like maybe some, and they're all, you know, getting up there. So maybe somebody like had like a surgery or had something like this, but this is new, seeing like the two dates. I'm really not sure. That's kind of weird. on the post in on Punk News, someone was like, oh, maybe this is like a Sex Pistols thing and they didn't sell enough tickets. And it's like, no, the Sex Pistols canceled their tour because Steve Jones broke his wrist and needs surgery. They didn't have a problem with that.
Oh, maybe
I
they did sell
don't,
enough tickets. You think is that? But I think X has no problem selling
yeah,
tickets.
I don't think it's that. I don't think they had problems selling tickets. Like, my bet would be on a health issue. What about you?
But then why would they be able to do two shows still? Like, to me, it seems to be some sort of travel issue
Yeah,
because X
maybe.
lives in California. So they're like, we can still do Reno and we can still do California, but we can't do anywhere else. So it's like, oh, we can do. Maybe somebody's got some kind of health condition where they can't travel that far, you know?
Maybe. Yeah, like that could easily be, because I'm trying to think of like anything else. And it's like, well, they would have workarounds for like if they're van or like whatever vehicle they tour in broke down, like they'd have backups, like you know what I mean? So,
Yeah, I don't think it's something as simple as that because I mean,
no,
there's a significant amount of money invested in this tour. So if a van broke down, they could solve that issue, you know.
yeah.
So I don't know, man. It's weird.
What's
Okay.
your take on it? What do you think?
So what could it be? It could be internal discord, but in which case, why would they do two shows? It could be a health issue, probably not a visa issue because they cancel all the USA shows as well, you know.
Yeah.
So it could be a ticket issue. I wish, well, who would think to look, but we could have looked on StubHub before the cancellation to get an idea of that, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's, well, you know, X-Zine into some pretty far out conspiracy things these days, unfortunately. So my guess is Xine doesn't want to travel far for whatever reason, you know, and I think that's it.
Okay. Yeah, that would make sense. I could see that.
But I'm not really. I mean, Em, are you? I'm really not. I mean, people love X. X is kind of boring to me. I'm not a huge X fan. Do you like X?
Not particularly. Like they're a band that I respect what they have done and did, but I don't really listen to them that much, if ever, honestly.
I just find them maybe kind of boring, and I'm not sure why. Of all the Danger House bands, they're considered like the best one, and to me they're the least interesting one. But anyways, Coachella has announced its new lineup, the lineup for 2026. Iggy Pop's playing.
Ooh.
Also playing, Devo, Ceremony. New Black Flag, Turnstile Drain. Somebody are the chats playing? I think someone mentioned the chats are playing. Headliners are Sabrina Carpenter, no surprise there. Justin Bieber, a little bit of surprise, and Karol G. So let's take it from the top and work our way on down. Justin
Okay.
Bieber, and were you like, I know Justin Bieber's having sort of a resurgence right now, but I feel like it's a put on. I feel like people don't actually care about Justin Bieber that much. I feel like that's just massive amounts of money pumped into marketing, and I think it's going to work because I think as of now, Justin Bieber is transforming from a contemporary artist to a legacy headlining artist, you know, like Madonna or like Diana Ross. Or even like I'm trying to think of somebody a little bit younger. I would say Justin Timberlake, but he's still kind of in the contemporary sense, even though he's older than Justin Bieber. So I think Justin Bieber wisely is now moving into an artist where he only plays giant festivals and he's always headlines. I think that's where he's at. What do you think the stance on Justin Bieber is right now?
Very low. Like
What do you mean?
he re surprise released an album like 2 months ago or something, and nobody really cared or knew it happened. I just saw it because like people were, or I saw it on one of like a music site. I saw a review on it and I'm like, oh, I didn't know he had new music out.
So do you think it's a misfire that people like won't stick around for it?
It's hard because like I think people would go for like the nostalgia factor. But I don't personally know a lot of people who get nostalgic about Justin Bieber. You know, like I don't really know anybody, and that doesn't mean that there aren't people out there who are, but I don't know anybody who would be very stoked for that.
I think if it was Justin Bieber Fest, like I think if Justin Bieber had a headlining show like Taylor Swift would do or Sabrina Carpenter, it'd be a big failure. But I think because he's headlining Coachella, people are like, yeah, let's stick around for Justin. He has like, like a couple of hits that I like back in the day or whatever. Or they also kind of like the he's like balding now and he kind of dresses like a hobo, which is in contrast to his previous image. So I think people like that kind of contradiction. And so I think he's playing his cards very wisely. And I think people will stick around. And I think he's gonna, I mean, I'm not a fan at all, right? But I think he's gonna do a set that might be a little bit better than people expect. So I think he's going to get a critical reevaluation and he's going to be seen as a legacy big time headliner. And all he's going to do is big time, like maybe two or three music festivals a year. He'll get paid a couple mil, maybe more. And that's how he's playing his hands. And I think that's pretty wise of him to play it that way. And I think it'll work from a
Sure.
strategy standpoint.
Yeah, just kind of come out of your life every so often, do this thing, then go back to living your life.
Now, are you mad that Iggy Pop isn't headlining? I am.
I definitely thought he would be, or he at least would have like the first slot after the headliner. You know, kind of like the slightly bigger font. I know he's in the first line, but like I thought he'd be
Yeah.
earlier in the first line.
The fact of the matter is Iggy Pop can headline any festival and I don't think well maybe they would though. I mean like you know I mean I'm not necessarily a spring chicken anymore. Coachella is 21, 22, 23 year olds. And the 22 year olds would they be like yes, Iggy Pop is headlining or would they be like who's this old guy? I want to send a Young Thug and Karol G.
I think they'd
Like to
probably
me,
like appreciate Iggy Pop. Do you know what I mean? But I don't know if they'd go specifically for him.
but I'm saying if Iggy headlined Coachella in place of Justin Bieber, would like it be a huge bash and would be like, yes, Iggy Pop dominated? Or would people leave before that or be like, who's this old dude? You see? Like I don't know if the 22-year-olds, I mean, the music the 22-year-olds listen to is almost all electronic based, you know, like Young Thug, Cascade. Big Bang, Karol G, not the Strokes, but Nine Inch Noise.
Nine Inch Noise is Nine Inch Nails and Boys Noize.
What's Boys Noise?
I believe they're German. They're a band they've been touring with, and then they do a thing during the set where, Boys Noize opens, and then later on they do like a remix where both of the bands are on stage, and they do like goth rock, like very kind of like club goth rock kind of thing.
That's cool. That's cool.
Versions of Nine Inch Nails songs, yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's actually pretty interesting. I wish they kind of had
Yeah.
to explain that more. The point being though is like all the young people know who Justin Bieber is, even though at this point Justin Bieber is significantly older than the young people. I mean, how is Justin like 30 now or something? Let's see
I
here.
think he's over 30.
Justin Bieber. Let's see. Justin Bieber is 31. So like
Oh, wow, that's it.
all the young people know who Justin Bieber is. Do they even know who Iggy Pop is? Do they care? You know, and also, I mean, like with how they listen to music, now the young people certainly love Drain, but Iggy Pop destroys the stage, even at his current age. But the fact of the matter is, like, electronic-based artists don't destroy the age, the stage. So would the young people even be into that? Or do they kind of want like a, I'll even say like a mediocre, not that exciting set? Because the fact of the matter is, most electronic artists live are not that great live. They really aren't. You know, so like, would they enjoy Iggy Pop? Would they, do they know who Iggy Pop is? That's the question.
I think they know of him. You know, I don't, because like he's been in so many fashion ads and like stuff like that. I think they definitely know of him, but I don't know if they'd necessarily listen to him, if that makes sense. Like, I think they know him to see him, and I think they'd recognize him from like memes on the internet and stuff.
So if Iggy headlined Coachella, would it be packed and would it get great reviews or would it not be packed and it wouldn't get great reviews?
I think it would bring in a different demographic into the festival. I think there would be a lot of like older people, and I think younger people would stick around to see it. So it would expose them to a new audience. I think it would get good reviews.
Do you think it would be packed? Do you think they sell the number of tickets Coachella wants to sell?
I'm trying to think like from a marketing perspective, not from like what I would want to see.
Right, and that's like to me, Iggy's the
You
champion.
know?
To me, Iggy is the best headliner there is. There is no other headliner that's better than Iggy. You know, but maybe that's
Right.
not the case anymore. You know.
Well, I don't think that like Justin Bieber is a better headliner than Iggy Pop. Like, I don't think
Artistically or financially?
artistically.
Oh, sure. But how about
Financially, it would be
financially?
a different story, but
Sure. I mean, I agree. Iggy Pop blows Justin Bieber. I mean, Justin Bieber shouldn't even mention the same conversation as Iggy. But financially, who, you know?
probably Justin Bieber bringing more money for Coachella.
Well, anyway, I think that even regardless, I
Yeah.
think they should have at least given Iggy the respect of making him the number one big smaller font, you know, as opposed to Young Thug, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Or the Strokes. I mean, Iggy's the Strokes, although I like Iggy, the Strokes are not that impressive. Although the young people do all love the Strokes and they're always asking me for Strokes records. But the weird thing is, Strokes are from the 90s. They're not like why are the Strokes so big again?
People crave that sound.
I guess. So anyways, how big do you think turn like and here's the other question then. Turnstile is huge right now. Huge. But
They
will
are.
Turnstile be huge at Coachella? Like in our world, you know, Turnstile is massively huge. But in the real world, you know, in the big boy world, Sabrina Carpenter, Justin Bieber, Karol G, how big is Turnstile in that world?
I don't think very big, because like they're not on any awards shows, like stuff like that, you know? But their Tiny Desk did blow up. Like, that was everywhere. So I think this is going to be kind of like a turning point for the band. I think they're going to get bigger after this. Like, they're already big, but like, I think they're going to get bigger after this.
See, I think actually, and we're beyond the tip of the mountain. We're heading back down because
Oh, okay.
not the current album, but the one before that was huge, right? The
Blow on.
one that just came out was not that big. And the fact of the matter is, like, if I was Turnstile, I'd want to be higher up on this poster than where they're at. I realize they're top line, but they're not.
Yeah.
You know, they're after Disclosure. I would want to be in front of the Disclosure, and certainly in front of the XX, which. Why is that band up there so high?
I think it's the same thing as the Strokes. The people just like the sound.
Yeah, that seems insane to me. And I wonder, like, is the Strokes that like is the Strokes that big, or are they just saying they're that big and festivals accept that, and then therefore the fans accept that? Like it's the product creating the consumer, not the other way around. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's like people cite the Strokes as influences and then people go and listen to them and are like, hell yeah, I love this band, because everyone cites the Strokes as an influence, it seems.
I also related. I have to take back my Shaggy comments. I said that Shaggy,
Oh.
like I was surprised. I said I was surprised that Shaggy was performing with Sting, and I'm like, I wouldn't think that Shaggy could even sell like 2,000 tickets. But Shaggy's actually huge online. He's got 1.6 million followers, so Shaggy is still huge.
Ooh,
So there you go. So
let's go.
I
That's
think
awesome.
Shaggy should be headlining Coachella.
I would go see Shaggy headlining.
Shaggy's cool, man. Oh, Em, talk about this. The Mock-Ups, a new band. What's your take?
Yeah. So, I found out about this band because you sent me a message on Instagram and you're like, hey, this real? So, looked into it and I was like, yeah, it looks fake, but it seems legit.
Because we found about it, it was mentioned on like some super sketchy website, you know. And I don't mean
Yeah.
sketchy, like illegal sketchy and
No.
like fake news type website, you know.
No, it just looked kind of strange. But yeah, so in that it was announcing a band called the Mockups, which is made up of Gerard Way, obviously of My Chemical Romance and his own solo stuff, on vocals and bass, Michael Schultz, who is the head of Signature Artists at Fender on guitar, and Kevin Bavona, Jesse Bavona, and Amy Interrupter of the Interrupters on keys and production, drums, and backing vocals, respectively. So, like, this post kind of came out of nowhere. Everyone's covering it. In the post, there's a snippet of a song called I Want to Know Your Name. The photo in the post is like handwritten lyrics for the song, and the post had a clip of the song in it. So there wasn't a release date or anything. It just said, oh, the song will be out soon. So usually when something says it'll be out soon, it's one of two things. It's either it's always coming out soon and it never comes out, or it's
Jim
out the
Armstrong.
next. Yeah, all of those bands, what happened to them?
They put out one song each. That's it.
One song each, name change, done. So, or it's like out the next day or whatever. And this was pretty much the next day. Like it was announced on like a Saturday, I think. And then the single came out yesterday. I was very surprised that it was out that soon because I 100% thought it was going to be the, oh yeah, it'll be out when it's out, you know. That was kind of surprising, but I really liked this. I thought it was fun, and it's a good song overall. So I'm very pleasantly surprised. I wasn't sure going into it, like what it was going to sound like, you know, because I was like, oh, are they going to try to do, like, are they going to try to make it Interrupters? Is it going to lean more towards like Gerard's solo stuff? Like, how's it going to sound? So I was very pleasantly surprised by this song and very surprised at the band's existence. But yeah, so I kind of wonder if this is going to be like a one-off thing. If it's going to be an EP or an album, or if it's going to morph into like a full touring band, like I don't know. But it'll be interesting to see. My guess would be like they're going to release an EP or they're going to release an album. But yeah, John, what did you make of it?
I thought it was all right, but I'm more interested is you don't really like the Interrupters, right?
I'm not a big fan of the Interrupters, no.
So what's your opinion now that they're teaming up with Gerard Way?
Like my problem with the Interrupters isn't that they're not talented musicians. It's just their music doesn't click for me. So in this case, it's they're very talented musicians, and they're just doing something together with another talented musician kind of thing. So I would like to know how they came together and how like the band was pieced together. Well, the other thing just with that, we don't know like how long the band has been around or has been recording or whatever, because this single was engineered by Doug McKean, who passed away in 2022.
Oh,
So
really?
yeah, so there's also that.
That's weird. This song's like 4 years old.
Yeah. So it makes you wonder, right? Like it's is this an active project or is this something that was active that they like did a couple things and now it's being released? Like there's a lot of questions kind of about the timeline. But anyway, like it really highlights like the musicianship, I guess, of like the Interrupters members in a slightly different way, than their it is in their band for me.
That's weird. So this is like 4 years old and it's just coming out now. That's weird.
Yeah. It's very odd.
In the middle of a My Chemical Romance reunion too, right? That tour's still going on, right?
That finished a couple days ago. That
Oh,
finished on Saturday.
I guess that kind of makes sense. Well, there you go. Just a couple of last
Yeah.
quick stories. M sent me this story that I haven't posted to Punk News, but I'm going to is
Ooh.
the buyer of the Firebrand has been revealed. It was sold on, of course, the listeners probably know. Firefest sold for $245,000 on eBay, all the intellectual property, and the buyer was LimeWire. And actually, what exactly does LimeWire do? I thought it was an illegal downloading site. What does LimeWire do?
I also thought it was an illegal downloading site, and I thought it got shut down.
So is it okay? So what it is now is now it's a legal file sharing website. So there you go. I see. Now it's kind of like more like WeTransfer is what it's kind of like. So first of all, what can they possibly like? What can you possibly do with this brand, this tarnished brand? But also, I've got a funny story as well, somewhat related to this.
Okay.
Do you think this is like? This is like a total waste of money to me.
I don't really understand it myself. So I would agree with you there because it's like people already don't really know what LimeWire, well, just what based off our conversation right now, like no idea what it has been doing in like the past like 20 years, you know? So I don't know how this helps it. I guess it gets its name in the news.
Yeah, maybe you just hit it down the head, and in that, like, at the level of LimeWire is at, like, any press action is going to cost a couple hundred thousand dollars. So maybe they're like, well, instead of hiring a publicist, we'll just buy this stupid thing, you know? Is that going to get people to use the fact that they own Firefest? Is that going to get people to use LimeWire? I don't think so.
I wouldn't think so either, unless they're planning on. Like using it as like we're throwing a LimeWire fest. Here's all the bands you used to download illegally with us. Come see them.
We did, but they're calling it LimeWire Fest. They're not calling it Fire Fest.
Oh, I don't know. That was just they're not actually.
No, but I'm saying in your example.
Oh,
in your fictional example.
Yeah.
Like
it'd
be like LimeWire presents Firefest, but also like even if it's an ironic purchase, I feel like the juice is out. I feel like no one cares at all anymore, frankly.
Yeah, I feel like all the hype is gone, and it's just like, oh, are we still talking about this? Like, what's you know, like why?
So related, the listeners probably remember a few months ago we had on Heath Miller. Heath Miller is the guy that was throwing the Fire Festival down in, was it Mexico or where was it in?
It was somewhere in...
in the Caribbean maybe? I don't know, some island somewhere.
It was on an island. It was on a tropical island and it looked very nice and it was its own country. That's all I remember.
It was someone I never heard of, frankly, you know. And so he was throwing the Fire Fest, the new Fire Festival, or what? Like it had some weird name that he insisted on using. It was like the Fire Pop-Up Fest at like, not Dogen Island, Dolan Island, something like that. Anyways, here you go. Coral View Beach and Resort. I'm looking right at, I'm being kind of an asshole, aren't I? Coral View Beach and Resort. So, and that's on Utila Bay Islands. Oh, Honduras. It's in Honduras.
Okay. That's what it was. Yes, yes.
So we had him on, and my main issue was that he was kind of celebrating a con man and a creep that had expressed no remorse for his shitty actions. And that was my main issue, you know. And he defended that by saying, America loves a comeback story. Look at Donald Trump and look at Ronnie Radke. A, one being the worst president we've ever had, who was also a liar and a felon, and B, a guy that has been accused and has gone to jail for assault and other things, which was, you know, and so my two main problems were A, why invest money in Billy McFarland when there's plenty of other nice people, or not even nice, not reprehensible people that you could invest money in, you know? and isn't it kind of sick that we're celebrating a con man as a hero, you know, not even a Robin Hood type character, literally just a thief, you know, and that was my problem. And he couldn't explain as to why this was a good idea, you know, and I was hoping that he would have some sort of argument or some sort of thing to say, no, John, here's why this is interesting. But he didn't have that. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Like there was no angle. There was like, well, actually, John, he did this, or he did, like, there was nothing. It's like, He's a con man, and he's coming down to hang out with, I guess. So anyways, believe it or not, Em, I got an email from Heath Miller about a week ago.
Oh no.
Hi, John. We just finished up our successful Fire Coral View pop-up with Billy McFarlane, which has been renamed Phoenix going forward as he's sold the Fire trademark. We'll be doing another one in January. I can confirm that my hotel and all the other vendors have been paid in full. And I don't know if that's an F,
Okay.
I don't know if that an FU email or what that is, but he still seems to be missing the point. The point isn't that I was concerned that the hotel workers wouldn't get paid. The concern is, why are we celebrating this creep Billy McFarlane? And this guy Heath Miller still seems to not get it, you know, or he does get it. In reality, I mean, I think he does get it, and he just
Oh,
doesn't
I think he
care.
gets it.
He
Yeah.
just doesn't give a shit. He just wants money, and he doesn't care what kind of creep he has to work with to do it. Which, listen, Em, when you work with creeps, what does that make you? You know what I mean?
That's the thing.
So I guess he just doesn't. I guess that's why I'm so confused. He doesn't care. He knows the deal, and he just doesn't give a shit, you know.
Yeah, like it definitely reads like a fuck you email, 'cause it's like, but it's
But
there was no point during which anyone said, I don't think it's going to be a success. Like, you know what I mean?
I guess, but I don't want to keep bringing this guy up because he's frankly not that interesting, you know. But why didn't he have a better angle than them? Like if he truly doesn't care, right? And I guess he doesn't care. I mean, I guess he doesn't care that he's working with a creep, and he doesn't care that he's making money essentially off people being robbed, you know.
Unless
Then,
that was a thing to be like, look, no one got robbed. Sorry.
but
Didn't
people
mean to
did get
interrupt.
robbed. But people did
No,
get robbed.
I mean this time.
Oh, well, yeah. But see, I guess
Yeah.
he thought that, well, my concern wasn't him not paying people. I didn't think that Heath wouldn't pay people, you know. I thought that Billy was a creep, and why are we celebrating a creep? You know, why aren't we celebrating Keith Morris or Jello or Taylor Swift or Sabrina Carpenter? You know what I mean? Why? Or some great teacher. I realize no one's gonna go to some teacher fest, but you get my point, Em. You know.
No, for sure.
So how about Bill Nye Fest? People would go to that, I think. Although on a side, I think Bill Nye might actually be an angry guy, but we'll talk about that some other time.
I think he is. Yeah.
Oh, you think he is too? Interesting. Okay,
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, 100% he is.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go then. All right, we're on the same wavelength then. So, anyways, the point being is, why didn't he have an angle to disrupt my criticism? And he didn't.
I really don't know,
Well,
to be
anyways,
honest.
it's always going to be mystery M,
Unless it
and
was kind of like, I'm hoping I get attacked.
maybe it was that kind of a thing. But see, like I actually suspect it might be the kind of thing where he wants us to attack him, and you know,
Yeah.
kind of make like a pro wrestling kind of thing. But he didn't even do
Yeah.
like we were hitting him, and he didn't really like have any response. He just seemed confused, you know, and then he started talking about Trump and Ronnie Radke as success stories. Like, I really don't think that's getting you what you want, you know. Anyways,
Very confusing.
I don't know. The whole thing's confusing, and we're not going to get an answer. Let's not bring him up again unless it's really newsworthy. And I don't want to give the guy any more news. I just thought that email was kind of interesting, you know. Of course,
Yeah.
you know what, Em, I'm actually complimented. I actually had forgotten all about him, honestly. But he's still thinking about me, which is something I always take as a compliment. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And also, Em, I've been on the other side of the table this myself, and this is something to keep in mind, Em. There have been people that have annoyed me and people that I've disliked. And you know, I'll see somebody in the news or whatever. I'll be like, ooh, that guy's a jerk. But he's not thinking about me. You know what I mean? So it's wasted energy, Em.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that is something that I'm still working on myself, in that don't make someone your arch enemy when they're not even a speck of dust to you. You know, or you're not even a speck of dust to them. And I used to love in the punk, you know, when the punk news comment section was at its worst, and all these people would be, you know, talking smack about me and say John does this and blah blah blah. And I'm like, I forgot all about that. That was like 4 years ago. And I used to be honored that they're spending all day thinking about me, and they're nothing to me. You know, they're like nothing to me, you know. And so don't fall on the other side of that equation. You know what I'm saying, Em?
I think so.
PMA, that's what I'm saying, and PMA. Except for sometimes NMA is useful as well. So,
Depends on the
it
situation.
does. People that are always positive M, I actually think are the most negative people and are suppressing a lot of anger.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, because it's like there's only so far it can get you before, it eats you alive.
You mean being always positive, you're saying?
Yeah, because in a lot of cases you're not facing things and you're just
Exactly.
burying it, and it's like it's gonna erupt somehow. It's not good for you.
Sometimes life does suck, and sometimes things don't work out as planned, and you have to accept it, digest it, and grow from it. You can't ignore it by just saying PMAM. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like PMA if you're dealing with stuff 100%, because like I know that can help people like face their emotions and their feelings and like all their that stuff, right? That's wonderful, but like you need to be facing the stuff and acknowledging the stuff.
Well, there you have it. Face it, acknowledge stuff. PMA most of the time, NMA once in a while. And so
Everything in balance.
Pung News Podcast 700 is in the works. We've got a lot of guests confirmed already. We might have to expand it from a 3-hour thing. And do you think we can do so right now? Pung News Podcast 700 is 3 hours. The biggies are
Yeah.
usually 3 hours. Could we do 4 hours then? Do we have the juice?
I think we have the juice. I
That's a lot
believe
of
in
juice,
us.
Em. That's a lot of talking, Em. That's a lot of
I
talking.
think near the end things would go a little off the
But see, that's the thing, is the end is the most important, because that's where we've got the heavy hitters.
That's true.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
We will
So
see.
Punk 700, it's been delayed maybe half a year now, maybe even a year. But it's gonna be cool, man. It's gonna be cool. So 700 coming on down the pipeline. What else we got happening in the Punk News? November, no, I'm sorry, October 18, Dan Burt in Philadelphia of Chumbawamba with Civil Rats with Universal Girlfriend, which is Mercer Paternoster, Augusta of Cayetana, Nazarene of Taxpayers, and Ashley of Pinkwash. And then we've got the next Philly Record Freakout November 16 at the Chamonix Creek. And then we've got the next Philly Record Freakout December 6 at our home digs, Philomoka in Philadelphia. Anything else you want the people to know about? I'm making a
Let me
bootleg
think.
Tegan and Sarah t-shirt. It's going to be really funny.
Ooh, how what's it gonna be?
You'll see. I'm not gonna say. I'm not gonna tell you after the show, but I'm not gonna tell say it online. If
Ooh,
you want one, I'll make one
okay.
for you.
Thank you. Hey, CanCon. Hell yeah. Tegan and Sarah.
That's right. But they live in L.A. What do you? But they live in L.A. Em, what do you think of that?
Unfortunately, a lot of Canadian artists do.
So do they still count as Canadian?
They still count as Canadian as long as they hold citizenship.
Will even does Neil Young count as Canadian still?
Neil Young counts as Canadian because I believe he has dual citizenship.
How
Yeah.
about how about I'm trying to get any good Pamela Anderson.
Does she? I think she also has dual citizenship.
Does she?
I'm pretty sure. Let me check.
Tegan and Sarah, will they ever release a great album ever again, M, or is the party over?
I think they will release another great album. I have faith.
Pamela Anderson has been married 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times.
Holy, good for her.
She was
That's
married to
a
a famous
lot.
She was married to a famous poker player once.
Oh, that would be a very tough person to be married to. I mean, a professional poker player.
Why? Because he's out late at night all the time.
With professional gamblers, again, you have one of two people. It's either this is going to be the chillest person you've ever met and they're awesome, or it's going to be somebody who has severe anger issues, gets very desperate very quickly, and is kind of a n needs to seek help.
And would you rather be married to Kid Rock or Rick Solomon, the famous poker player?
Famous poker player.
And would you rather be married to Tommy Lee or Kid Rock?
Tommy Lee.
Interesting. Why? Because Kid Rock's just like the biggest piece of trash in the world. And Tommy Lee's a big piece of trash, but not as big as Kid Rock.
Yeah.
All
Tommy Lee
husband.
looks like someone you could have fun with.
Fair. Yeah, you're totally right. You can have fun with Tommy
Yeah.
Lee. There's no fun with Kid Rock at all, you know?
None.
So they all have been married to Pamela Anderson. How do you like that?
Isn't and she's like dating Liam Neeson, I think, right now.
I think that was a fake out. I think that was like a PR thing, and it's like actually not real.
Oh.
No, I'm confused. No, I'm wrong. I think she's dating Liam Neeson, but there was another one that was a fake out. Welcome to the celebrity gossip news at Punk News. I can't remember if that was real. I think that is real. I forget. Anyways.
I don't know, but yes, she has retained her Canadian citizenship. She is a dual citizen.
So there you have it. Also, M, last
Yeah.
one. Pamela Anderson has starred in a music video. Whose music video did she star? Oh, she actually been in a bunch of music videos. Wow, she's been in a bunch of music videos.
Well, before that, she lives on Vancouver Island in BC. So she lives in Canada.
Well, speaking of
Yeah.
land, what music video did she star in that mentioned land?
That mentioned land.
Land. And then we'll shut this on down.
It's not a Motley Crue video.
She has been in a Methods of Mayhem video, which is Tommy Lee. That was Get Naked.
See, you can have fun with the guy. What a name. Anyway, land. What's the genre? Is it like metal?
No, I was very difficult to, I guess, vaguely post-punk, but like,
Oh.
or alt-rock, you know.
Is the band still together?
Well, it's a solo artist.
Was it a one-hit wonder?
No, it's
Hmm.
either a many-hit wonder or a no-hit wonder. I'm not exactly sure. Like, but one-hit
Oh.
wonder does not qualify.
Are they from like Australia or something?
No, I'll give you a hint.
Hmm.
They are from England. I'll give you here you go, Em. I'll give you five more questions,
England.
and then you got to guess, and then we'll wrap this one up.
Okay.
So you got five more
Yes.
questions. Go ahead.
Okay, so they are from England.
Yes.
What is the person's gender?
Male.
Male? And you already said solo artist. Are they known for being kind of weird?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Are they alive?
Yes. Two left. You should know it already, but go ahead.
Let's see. Have they ever been in a band?
Yes, a very well-known band. One more question.
Well known. One more question. Okay. Let's see what's gonna help me here. What was another defining feature of the video other than Pamela Anderson being in it?
Well, I mean, I'll give you this as a freebie because there isn't the video itself is not that impressive. The entire video, or almost the entire video, is just on a rooftop.
Oh, that's kind
I
of
guess another
boring.
defining feature is actually the song is turned into a spoken word track, and it isn't even really a spoken word song. But I'll give you another question.
It's Morrissey.
Yeah, you got it. Bing. Morrissey, Earth is the Loneliest Planet. So there you
Oh
have it.
my gosh.
And when will we see them? We'll see them before episode 700, but when will we see them?
We will see them next week.